good morning again, church. All morning long, I've been just kind of reflecting on just the words of worship this morning. And there is just always something so incredibly powerful about just singing praises to God. And I feel like the songs that we sang this morning, so much of them, they just reminded us of the truth and just reminded us of the hope and the faithfulness of God. And it's just singing this morning, I feel like it broke me down again. And it just reminded me that despite anything going on in my life or in the life of the church or in any of your lives, that God is greater and bigger and stronger than each one of those things. And what a joy it is for us to just collectively agree upon that this morning. I'm so thankful for worship. I'm so thankful for these musicians, for people like Chase that lead us and remind us of truth, because we need it. We need those reminders. Again, this is the point of communion, is to remind us. Also, my name is John. I also serve as one of the pastors here, and so thankful for Jordan. Such a good way walking us through the Lord's Supper in a way that makes us reflect, in a way that makes us, as he talked about, look inward and look outward. And he also talked about us looking backward and looking forward. And I wanted to take some opportunity to look backward a little bit just for us in the life of the church from this past year. And I was reminded of a passage of scripture that literally from the very beginning of this church, we reference a lot. It is the first several chapters of the book of Joshua that has been a section of scripture that we study a lot, we preach on a lot, we reference a lot, and it's just been very meaningful to us as a church. And I wanted to kind of just share a little bit of why it has been so meaningful to us. This is the section of scripture where Moses had been walking in the wilderness with the Israelites, trying to bring them to the promised land, and they've been doing this for years and years and years, and now it's come to the point where Moses has died. He didn't get to actually get them to the promised land, and now we have Joshua that is getting ready to bring them into this land that had been promised to them, and they're having to cross the Jordan River, and it's this this miracle story. And we realize that the beginning of Joshua, where Joshua is instructed to be strong and courageous, and the Lord tells him this repeatedly. He says, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And so how many times have we heard that preached up here, and it's been a reminder to us to also be strong and courageous, and all the different things that maybe God is leading you to and guiding you to, that we can also be reminded, just like Joshua, to be strong and courageous. And then we see in chapter 3 where the Lord kind of lays out how this is going to happen, how they're going to cross the Jordan. And in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, after 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. It says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. So the Ark of the Covenant, this represents the presence of God. And so we see that they're instructed that when you see the Ark of the Covenant go, that this is going to be what you are guided, what you are to follow. And what a reminder to us is that we too have that same commandment now, is that we follow the presence of God. And that is going to explain to us and guide us where we are to go. Because every single person in this room, none of us have experienced 2023 before, right? Just like in the same way they hadn't been there before. I mean, the way that we are going to walk through 2023 is we're going to follow the presence of Jesus. And it's just, again, it's just one of these passages that just speaks so much to us. We know later it talks about how the Jordan River did not part until the priest put their feet into the water. And we've preached about that and talked about that, how so often in our lives, it is not until we take a step of faith that we see the Lord move. And oftentimes we have to be willing to step into the river. We have to be willing to step out into the unknown and just trust that God will do what he says that he will do. And so we see that these Israelites, they cross the Jordan, that the river heaps up, right? And it says that they walk across on dry ground. How crazy of a story is this? That we see that literally God looks at the Israelites and he says, here's what I'm going to do, and here's what you're going to do, and then here's what I'm going to do, and then here's what you're going to do. He lays it all out for them, and then that's exactly what took place. Right? You would have to imagine that for the Israelites, this is going to be something that there's no way they could forget about this. There's no way they could forget about that time that God gave them this land that had been promised to them. And the way that they entered into it was they literally crossed a river on dry ground where it literally heaped up on sides for them to be able to cross. There's no way that they could have ever question that. What they think about in their lives of that, is God for us? Is he with us? They could think back to this moment of remembering, of course he is. It's clear. How can we ever forget that day when we walked across the bed of a river, literally on dry ground? But yet, we know what happens after the book of Joshua. Time and time again, the Israelites, they forgot. And they begin to question the Lord's faithfulness. They begin to wonder, is he actually for us? Is he actually going to work it out this time? Is he actually going to continue to be with us like he has? And they begin to question and begin to wonder. And in chapter 4, the Lord did something for the Israelites to hopefully try to speak into this. And it says that when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and carry them over with you and put them down in the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, each of you to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. The Lord instructed them to take these stones from the river, and they were to be memorial stones. They were to be examples for them to look back on. When they forgot, when they questioned, when they doubted, they were able to look at these stones and go, oh yeah, God was faithful then, and he's going to be faithful in the future. And I just realize how often we tend to forget. And what does it look like for us to find our own memorial stones in our life of God's faithfulness? And I thought maybe what would be helpful for just even us as a church is for us to look back as a body of believers to see what were some of those things that we saw this past year that we could use as memorial stones for us to be able to look back on it and go, oh yeah, remember when God did that? Remember when that took place? Because I know the tendency for us is we're going to come across situations this year, circumstances, feelings, emotions, whatever it might be, where we go, I don't know how I'm going to be able to get past this. I don't know how this is going to ever be any different. I don't know how this is actually going to turn around. And we're going to need things in our lives for us to look back on and to be reminded. In 2022, we saw 29 people surrender their life to Jesus. 29 people who their eternity forever changed. How crazy is it to think that we got to experience that? We got to see that they got to experience that, and we got to welcome them in to this body. 60 people publicly professed their faith through baptism. We're going to be clapping a lot this morning. 60 people, right? Almost one every week is what that would come to. Every single Sunday, it would have, if it was all spread out, where we got to celebrate somebody saying, yes, I want to put my faith and my hope in Jesus. And That 60 is representative of some kids, some students, college students, adults. It was all ranges of ages that we got to see that. We saw 26 people become heart and soul, say, hey, I want to join this church. I want to be arm in arm, locked arm in arm with you on this mission that God has given us to connect, equip, and send God's people. And I want to be a part of that. We saw 48 people join a connect group. Say, I want to be part of community. I want to get into community with other believers to walk in their faith together. We saw, if y'all want to, we can hold claps till the end because I got a lot of things. We saw 100 people become connectors, become volunteers here at this church, saying, hey, I want to be a part of serving this body, of serving the people that walk through these doors, of serving those kids that are over in Connection Kids. I remember a couple weeks ago, we were trying to figure out about this service. Would we be able to offer Connection Kids today? Because we knew a lot of people would be out. It'd be difficult. And yet, trying to find volunteers for kids this Sunday, I got a message from Ramsey. She said, yeah, we got every single position covered. And it's because of people like these 100 people that said, hey, I want to serve the people of this church. 383 people gave for the very first time last year. They said, I want to trust God with my finances, and I want to invest in what God is doing here. A total of 841 people gave to this church. How incredible that that many people said, hey, I want to invest in what's happening here. We had 582 first-time guests. First-time people that walked through these doors that were looking for a place that they could find hope, that they could plug in and find other people that they could do life with. 375 kids came to this church for the very, very first time. That they wanted, their parents said, hey, we want to invest in our kids' future and their faith, and maybe this is going to be the place that we could do this. 39 students came on a Sunday night to Connection Students. We don't have the total number of college students, but countless college students came for the first time this past year to find, is this a place that it could be my home away from home while I'm here in college? Vacation Bible School was the biggest we've ever had this past year. We saw 363 kids walk through these doors and learn about how they could make a difference in this world, even at their age. 140 adults served that Vacation Bible School. Many of these adults working all day long and leaving work and coming up here for 3 hours, 4 days in the middle of the summer to serve our kids because they wanted to see them grow in their relationship with Jesus. 24 babies stood up here with their parents and were dedicated to this church where they entrusted all of us out here. These parents entrusted all of us out here to walk alongside and help raise these children to come into a saving relationship with Jesus. Connection Music, they released a new album, 7 brand new songs written from the heart of this church. Where we songs that declare the greatness of God, that remind us of who God is and what he has done in our life. 26,000 times those songs have been played on Apple Music. 58,000 times on Spotify. Spotify's went into the battle on that one a little bit. Listen to this. 122 countries a Connection Music song has been played in. That's crazy. That is so crazy to think about. That's good. Here's a big one. This little thing called One in One was accomplished this past year, right? 10 years ago, we said, let's do this crazy thing. Let's try to raise $3 million, with half of it going to this building, half of it going to missions and outreach. Seemingly impossible task, and yet God was faithful. Upon that completion, we launched Inside Out, this initiative that would allow us to have 100% of everything given to this would go back out into this community to support organizations and ministries, and would go literally to the ends of the earth to see the gospel continue to spread. That allowed things like Esther's Place to be created this past year. Yeah, woohoo. Incredible things have happened through that ministry. In fact, today is actually the first day that they are actually joining in with another ministry here in town. It's going to allow them to be able to reach more and more people. And so they are, every single day I get to hear from them, and the stories of the life change that has happened to women in need in this community is truly incredible. A hygiene center was launched and created this past year, and there have been literally hundreds of middle and high school students who were able to get things like toothpaste and soap and shampoo and just the necessities for basic hygiene needs. And it has been overwhelming that we've been able to meet that need in this community. A meals ministry was launched this past year, completely volunteer-led. Not something that us, the church, organized, but some people in this church said, hey, can we serve this body of believers when people are sick, when they experience loss, when they are in need, and we can provide meals for people, and it's a way for us to serve others. Is that something that would be helpful? Absolutely. And we saw that happen. We saw a women's retreat get created to be able to serve women in our church and care for them and love them and pour into them. A ladies' night that took place to be able to preach the gospel to women, to unite them together and to remind them of God's truth. A men's meeting for men to get together and eat some good meat, but also be encouraged in the word. And it was an incredible time. We had these opportunities for all of these people to be able to get together. We had growth challenges where we challenged people to grow in their faith, right? To focus in on their marriage, to focus in on what it means to be a biblical man, to focus in on what does discipleship really look like and how can we grow in our faith. And we saw people commit to saying, I'm going to dig into this for a season. And it was incredible to see the growth that took place. 8 unreached people groups were highlighted this past year. Now, we were made aware of these places that the gospel is not present and we could pray for them and we could see the need for more and more people to go and to take the gospel where it isn't. We were able to do that, in fact. We took 3 trips to Turkey, to a place that there are so many historical sites from Scripture in this place, and yet now it is a place that is largely unreached. And we were able to go and take the gospel and share the gospel with people that in a place that maybe hadn't even been shared in thousands of years, literally since the time of Jesus. We commissioned out a pastor from this church to Connection Millen. It's my brother, Patrick Urban, and his wife, Heather. And we got to see him go and enter into ministry. Speaking of Millen, we see, for many of you, maybe you don't know, we are a part of a larger network of churches. It's called the Connection Network, and it's made up of many other churches, really kind of all over Georgia. And we've seen incredible things take place. Connection Vidalia was the first of those churches that got planted out of this church. And they were planted in 2015. They have been mobile since that point. They have been setting up and tearing down week in and week out. And just a couple weeks ago, they broke ground on a brand new building. Absolutely. Connection Millen, where Patrick was sent, they also have been setting up and tearing down. They were their second plant. They now have land, and they are beginning that process of raising money for a building. Connection Savannah, just a couple weeks ago, were gifted a building. Like, hey, here's a building. You can have it. In Rincon, Georgia, and they have a lot of people that have been traveling from Rincon to their location, so they're actually going to shift, and they're going to move over to Rincon, and they're going to become Connection Church Rincon to be able to focus in and reach that community for Jesus. Listen to this. Connection Dublin last year had 105 salvations and 79 baptisms. That means, like, every week, that would be 2 people surrendering their life to Jesus every week, every Sunday. And it's like, it's almost become like every time I see them post something, it's, oh yeah, another salvation, another baptism. Hey, we're here again. It's just crazy what God is doing. Connection Athens, one of our most recent plants, their budget was doubled last year. And that might not seem like a huge thing. That's a really big deal. When you're first starting out as a plant, trying to be stable financially is kind of an important thing. And so they are getting to the point where they're stable and they're able to hire some additional staff to continue to reach that community. Connection Richmond Hill, which is the latest one that we've planted, next Sunday is going to be their first Sunday morning service. And they've spent all this past year building and growing and leaning into what God has planned for them. We also brought on our next church planner. His name's Stanley Lane, and he's serving at Connection Dublin, and he's going to spend all this next year learning and growing to hopefully plant in 2024. All together for the network, We saw 182 salvations, 210 baptisms, and 1,001 people in connect groups across the entire network. And it was absolutely incredible to see what God's doing through this collection of churches. We have a desire to see 50 churches planted by 2050, and we believe that church planting is God's method of reaching more and more people with the gospel. And obviously, last month, we got to experience Give Christmas, where we got to go and provide Christmas for kids in our community, providing over 600 gifts, where 160 kids got to have Christmas last week. And I know we didn't get to experience that Sunday morning watching them open those gifts, but I can only imagine what that must have been like, knowing more than likely what they would have had Sunday morning, which is probably not much of anything, but to be able to open up and have these things provided for them, all from people that they don't know, but people that love Jesus and wanted to share that love of Jesus through this giving. You know, I look at all that, and there's countless more things that we saw God do last year, but it's like it overwhelms me to think about all that we saw God do. I also know this. I also know that there were some tough times in 2022. We experienced loss as a church family. Many of you experienced loss. There were some difficult things that we went through as a church as well. Things that it was just hard. It was emotional. Many of you experiencing very, very similar things, just things that are just difficult. But I also see, even through each one of those things, as I look back, I still see this thread of faithfulness from the Lord. I see all these moments that God was just moving when we didn't even see it. Even in the hurt, even in the troubling times. And so what I want us to do is, I want us to take a couple moments. You know, Jordan said earlier that today would be, there'd be a participation aspect of this morning, and obviously you've already had opportunities to participate. But we've looked inward, and we've looked outward. As a church, we've looked backward. And now I want you to do the same thing. I want you to look backward on your own life. I want you to take the next couple moments, and I want you to think back. Go back month by month if you have to. And I want you to think about what were those things in your life that you saw God be faithful into you this last year? What were those moments that you could easily forget, but maybe you need to slow down and take an opportunity to reflect and just to see, God, what did you show me this past year? What did you reveal to me? And then what I want you to do is I want you to take out your phone. I want you to go to your notes app. And I want you to write memorial stones. And I want you to write down those things. Humor me in this. Just do this application. Try this. Think about those things. Take the next couple moments. Think about those things and then write them down. And when you get home, maybe put them on a sticky note, put them on your fridge, put them on a mirror, put them whatever way will be, you'll be able to see on a regular basis. And then when your friends or your family are over, maybe your kids, they look at it much like the children of the Israelites looked at those memorial stones and they say, what are those? And you go, oh, those are those times that the Lord was faithful to me last year. And as you enter into things this year, when you begin to go, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I don't know if God's still with me. I don't know if it's ever going to be different. We can look back on these things and we can be reminded of God's faithfulness, that he has moved in the past and he will continue to move in the future. Church, the enemy wants us to believe that that's not the case. And it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, he will put doubt in your mind like that. We need memorial stones. We need the Lord's Supper for us to be reminded. And I promise the more we're reminded of these things, the more we take these opportunities to reflect and to pause and to see how God has moved in our life, it doesn't matter what we come against, because we know God is greater. there are some things that I don't know how we're going to get beyond. But God is greater, and he was faithful to us in the past, and he's going to be faithful right now. Cling to that, church. We must cling to that this next year. So Chase is just going to strum through some things right now. Take this moment, reflect on your life, write those things down, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to close this up, and then we're going to worship together.